How you doing, church? You good? You know, there is so much going on right now, and you know, you've got to kind of wonder, you know, are we sort of in those last days? And I'm not one to kind of predict, so don't panic. But you know, there's so much going on, and I just also on that note with the plebiscite, that there is this coming Tuesday, our movement, the ACC movement, is having a national day of prayer. So it'd be great to be a part of that, and just for us to be praying corporately, you know, all the ACC churches, and really believing for God to move at this time, this crazy time. But you know, church, we've been called for such a time as this. And for all of us that are here, you know, we're meant to be here. And we have a part to play, amen? And so my prayer is that each and every one of us would be, you know, willing and open for God to use us in whichever capacity that He would like, amen? I'm just going to pray, is that all right? Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise, Father. We thank you for our church. We thank you, Father God, that, Lord God, it is your desire that we come together in your house, Father God. And Lord, I thank you that this isn't just a weekly thing that we do traditionally, Father God, but this is a place of power, Father, and that you have an agenda each and every Sunday, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you have an agenda for today, and you have a purpose and a plan, Father, that you want to fulfill, Lord, in this house this morning, Father God. And so we just acknowledge that, and we commit this time to you, Father God. We ask that you would come and that you would have your way, Lord, that the word would be your word, Father God, that your heart, Lord God, would come through, your plans, your purposes, Father God, to reach every single heart in this house. And Lord, I just pray this morning, Father, that, Lord, lives, Lord God, would be changed, Father, that chains would be broken, Father God, that healing would come, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that, you know, your word does not return void, Father God. And we just believe and we stand on that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I needed to do that. Hey, so just continuing on, I've been doing a theme kind of on building resilience through grace. So this is kind of the third part of it. If you haven't heard the first two, I think one of them is on podcast. I'm not sure about the other one. Hopefully this one will be on podcast. Yes, awesome, fantastic. So it's just good to kind of... because it does all kind of fit together. But in any case, what I thought I might do is just do a quick revise of 2 weeks ago. Is that okay? Hands up if you weren't here 2 weeks ago. Okay, so there's a few people. So we'll just do a quick review. So we started off in Ephesians 4, and I'll just read that quickly. So Ephesians 4, verse 11. So it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work. Amen? We all know that those verses, yeah? And I just love to break them down because there's so much in those verses. There's so much in the book of Ephesians, which, you know, Pastor Andrew took us through the whole book of Ephesians. And it's just, you know, anyway, I'll just stop now. So what we looked at a couple of weeks ago is we discussed how there is much teaching out there in the world according to so-called worldly experts, yeah? So we're exposed to a lot of information. And but God has designed the church to function in a way that we, through our obedience to His word, walk in His truth, in His knowledge, and in His wisdom. Amen? So for us, you know, one thing, as I said, we were born for such a time as this, and it's important for us to be aware of the significance of that and to recognize how important it is for us to know where we stand in this current climate, social climate, every other climate. It's really important for us as Christians to understand where we stand. Amen? There's so much going on with all the political correctness and all the this and then that. And, you know, often I've seen Christians get quite confused and just not really sure where they stand. So it's important for us to be connected in with and understanding the Word of God and walk in His truth, knowledge and wisdom so that we know where we stand. Amen? Are you with me? Okay, so we also looked at the purpose and the function of the church, which is to make disciples, learn, grow, mature, so we are no longer infants being tossed back and forth by every wind of teaching. Amen? Which goes back to... Sorry if I'm rushing. I just have a lot to get through. Okay. So, yeah, we looked at the church has many functions, yeah? Many, many functions, and certainly Bay City does a lot of things as a church. But overall, you know, our mandate is to bring people to Jesus, to membership in our family, which is our church, develop them to Christ-like maturity and equip them for their ministry. Amen? Does that sound all good? And also in their mission or their life mission in our community or nationally, internationally, wherever. So, and for the purpose of magnifying God's name and to advance His kingdom through evangelism and outreach to the unsaved. Amen? So basically, we start off, we're bringing people in, we're discipling them, we're teaching them, and guess what? We're sending them back out. So that's kind of the way God intended church to operate. You know, sometimes churches can kind of get into this pattern where people are coming in and then we kind of can just go around in circles a little bit. You know what I mean? And so there's a bit of a stuckness that happens. So we talked about that last week. I won't go into it too much. So we'll continue that review, but I just want to take you on a little journey. And that is the journey of salvation or when we get saved, a new person in Christ. Is that okay? So I'm going to ask Harry to put... There we are. Now, please forgive my artwork. I really should have asked someone to do this for me, but please bear with me. Okay, so by grace we receive salvation and inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? How awesome is that? Does everyone remember when they were first saved? Yeah. It's like an inheritance. It's like receiving a massive inheritance, isn't it? And you didn't do anything for it. It's amazing. So some of the things we've got up there that represent the kingdom of God is what becomes part of us and part of our inheritance. So things like, you know, the relationship with God, the Word of God, worship, purpose, eternal life, and just some of the things that are part of our walk as new Christians. Yeah, you with me? Sorry, I am rushing. Okay, and then I think I have to use this thing. So there's a process that happens when we come into the kingdom and that we are saved and that we do receive this amazing inheritance. Where do I point? Oh, there it is. So this represents someone that's just got saved, right? So salvation through repentance means we do a complete turn, yeah, and then we begin to start swimming against the tide of the world. So that's our little friend there, our little newbie. He's just been born again, and he's turned around, and he's gone in the opposite direction. Oh, he's supposed to do a little twirly thing. It didn't work. Oh, well. But what can sometimes happen is who knows what happens when we start going against the tide? So we start to wrestle with our sin nature, our flesh, and against the spirit of this world. So you can see here, he's gone from swimming away happily. He's now encountered some resistance. I guess, in other words, is that when we become saved, yes, it's awesome. We receive all that inheritance. But then we find ourselves in a bit of a battle because there's an enemy who all of a sudden we've kind of got his attention. Amen? And so we start to experience some resistance. John 10:10 says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they or us may have life and have it to the full. Amen? So that's kind of sums up what happens when we become saved. That the enemy is a bit more interested in us. But we don't need to, we need to be aware of this, but we don't need to be fearful of this, do we? Do we? Does he look a bit scared? Okay. So then the next thing that happens is we come into the church. And who knows, when you come into church, it's an awesome experience, right? And, you know, we get to hear about hope. We receive love. We have the opportunity to grow, to be encouraged, accepted. It's a journey of discovery. We grow in confidence and we have a sense of belonging. Amen? However, who knows, we also encounter some resistance. Yep. Am I the only one? Yep. There's three people. Four. Ah, that's better. You had me worried. I thought, oh my gosh. Okay. So resistance not only continues, but it actually increases. Our flesh begins to resist things like submission and humility, etc. Who knows that our flesh doesn't like things of the spirit? So we start to rub up against each other a little bit. So how do we respond to this? Now, this might seem really, really basic, but it's really important for us that we understand this process and we understand that this is part of what we're called to, that we need to have endurance and forbearance as when we become a part of a church, because, you know, we are going to be challenged, and that's how God intended it for it to be. And it's what challenges us is what grows us and grows us to maturity. Amen. You know that term, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger? It's actually really true. So true. So sorry, I'm a bit lost. So we'll go back to our review. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Jahari window. Does everyone remember that? So I won't go back into all its detail, but the Jahari window basically is four windows that represent one person. Okay, the open part is the part that everybody sees. The blind spot is only stuff that we know about ourselves, and the hidden area or the facade is not known to others, but is known to us. Sorry, did I get that mixed up? So the blind spot is what's known to others but not known to us. The hidden area or the facade is not known to others. And then there's the unknown, which nobody knows. Not us, not others. Okay? So basically what it is this represents a person. And, you know, we all come, each and every one of us, we all come with a broken heart. Because of the fall, we've all suffered brokenness to some degree. Yeah? And that can be characterized by fear due to hurt, guilt, shame, anger, bitterness. So people are consciously and unconsciously hiding from God, from themselves, and from others. You with me? Okay. So kind of in line with that, there's a theory called internal family systems theory. Has anyone heard of that? Anyone here that did the relationships workshop that I did? Yeah, so you might have heard about this. So basically what this says is that each and every one of us have a little family living inside of us. I know. And so, and each member of this family plays a part. Are you with me? Have you ever kind of felt like there's more than one side to you? You know what I mean? Like you can be a certain way one day and then another different way another day. Some people refer to that as I won't say it. So basically this theory is about that. It's called internal family systems, which means there's an internal system happening of a little family inside of us all. Okay, so let me tell you. Now, it differs for each of them. Sorry. So basically what it is it sees consciousness as composed of various parts of sub-personalities. This is all of us, folks, okay? Each within its own perspective, interests, memories, and viewpoint. A core tenet of this is that every part has a positive intent for the person, even if its actions or effects are counterproductive or cause dysfunction. Are you still with me? This means that there is never any reason to fight with, coerce, or try to eliminate a part. So the method promotes internal connection and harmony. Okay, so we're made up of these parts, and these parts actually help us to function. And there's three main parts. Okay, hang in there with me. One part is called the manager. Okay, managers are parts with preemptive protective roles. They handle the way a person interacts with the external world to protect them from being hurt by others and try to prevent painful or traumatic feelings and experiences from flooding a person's awareness. Are you with me? So there's that part of us that manages what's going on internally. And then there's what's known as the exiles. Exiles are parts that are in pain, shame, fear, or trauma, usually from childhood, and managers and the other parts try to exile these parts from consciousness to prevent this pain from coming to the surface. Is this making any more sense? Rob? He's not sure. And the other parts is what's known as the firefighter. Okay, the firefighters are parts that emerge when exiles break out and demand attention. These are all our family members, guys. These parts work to distract a person's attention from the hurt or shame experienced by the exile by leading them to engage in impulsive behaviours. So that could be, you know, overeating or some sort of thing that distracts us. They can also distract from the pain by causing a person to focus excessively on more subtle activities such as overworking, etc. So does that make sense? So they're the parts that make up who we are. And that's kind of how we... I think it's amazing, to be honest. I think it's incredible. But that's just my head. You guys might not. But anyhow, basically, it's another version of the Jahari window and what's actually going on within us. And so when we come together in God's house, theirs is the opportunity where we can begin to work with all of those parts through the Word of God, through interaction with each other. And so you've got to remember that these parts are clashing with like my parts are clashing with your parts. You get me? And I guess what I'm trying to do is just paint a picture of what we're dealing with when we all come together. And quite often it's more so in a family situation, like in a marriage, in a family, in a church family, where these parts kind of get sort of knocked around and get tested. Amen. And it's these things that cause us to kind of respond and react in a certain way. So we might sort of allow, you know, a certain part of us to be open to others, but then we'll hide the other part. And the manager will kind of deal with that, because it's like, stay in there. You can't let people know that you're there. But then when that part is agitated somehow, if someone kind of starts pointing at it, it reacts. And so in comes the firefighter. So you get what I'm saying? So they're the kind of things that we're dealing with. And that, as I said, is all of us. And that's what we're made up of. And it's important to understand that all this stuff comes in and through either our childhood or our fleshly existence and sin nature that we're born with, okay? So through trust, sharing, feedback, self-awareness and discernment, the hidden area can be reduced and the shared area can open more. So when we're looking at that, when we come together in church and we participate in these things and we kind of come together and we cooperate together through trust, sharing, feedback, speaking the truth in love, having a self-awareness of self, but also recognizing that we are all made up of parts, okay? However, poor listening skills, advice giving, and harsh challenging produce distrust, okay? Which will only reduce the shared or open part of who we are. So whilst through wise feedback and loving challenge can bring us out of ourselves and can minimize that unknown area, it needs to be done with wisdom and it needs to be done with love. Amen? Are you with me? Sorry, this might be a bit heavy on a Sunday morning, but it's really good stuff. I promise. So poor listening skills, advice giving, and harsh challenging, these are all topics in themselves which I can't go into this morning. But basically the idea is that, you know, Proverbs 4:7 says that the beginning of wisdom is to get wisdom, though it costs you all you have, get understanding. And so with these challenges and the things that we experience in church, God's saying to us, get wisdom, get understanding, though it costs you all you have. Why? Because without wisdom and without understanding, without endurance and forbearance, a lot of people end up shipwrecked in their faith. And they don't understand the process. They don't understand why things happen the way they do. They don't understand relationship complexes. They don't understand that God intended for us to come together, and He intended for us to rub against each other, all of our parts. And He intended for that to happen. And that's part of what brings growth and maturity. Amen? And if we don't understand that, if we think that church should just be all the good stuff that we looked at, then we're gonna be in for a bit of a shock. And so we need to understand that when we, I love that song that I have decided to follow Jesus, because when we decide to follow Jesus, we need to make that a solid commitment. And otherwise, we're going to be going back and forth. We're going to struggle. We're going to have problems. And so we're going to find ourselves in a pattern where we're just going around in circles. And we might end up finally out there, but not for the purpose of outreach, but for the purpose of, what's another purpose? Just giving up. Now, I've seen this happen so many times in the church, and it's heartbreaking because, guys, this is all meant to be the way it is. And this is, you know, this is part of how God designed the church, and this is the way it's meant to function. Amen? So, how do we respond to each other? We should listen well, and we shouldn't try and give people advice or challenge them in a harsh way. But rather, we should first ask, seek understanding before speaking, judging, or making conclusions. So often I see people in the church that might sort of determine something about someone and go, oh, gee, I don't like it when that person does that. It really annoys me. I can't stand it. And I just wish they wouldn't do it, you know? Man always talks about psychology. What is that? What's that got to do with church anyway? You know? That's not church. I'm out of here. But if we were to take the time to stop and actually ask, which is being open and honest, speaking the truth in love, amen? So having an open discussion, hey, I'm just wondering, like, why do you always talk about psychology? Like, can you explain that to me? Sure. I mean, that's just a simple example. And so we need to understand that church, the way God designed it, is very unique, and there's nowhere like it in the whole entire world. Amen? How are we going for time? I want to do a really quick role play. Is that all right? Just really quickly. Can I have Leanne? Where's Leanne? Can I have you, please? And Raina? So I just want to give you an example of how sometimes we don't use wisdom, and or sometimes, you know, we can use wisdom and the difference between the two. And I'm not going to say anything more, just a disclaimer. So this is about two people who are totally fictitious. They don't represent anybody, okay? So girls, I just want you to read this. Don't think about it. Don't just read it straight. Okay, so yes. So Leanne, you're the, yep. Okay, so this is someone in the church who's going to someone else in the church to talk to them about a concern that they have, okay? Go.
As you may know, I've been married to Wally for 8 years and we have 2 young children. Wally has told me I wind him up, and if I could learn not to do that, then he wouldn't have to get so angry and throw things. He's always sorry afterwards and says I have a problem with forgiveness, as I can't seem to get over these outbursts. I want to be a good Christian wife, so I think I need help in this area.
Yes, forgiveness is very important to our Christian faith. It's great that you have an awareness of how your unforgiveness is impacting your marriage relationship, there are two particular verses which I would like to share with you. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Matthew 6:24. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Luke 17:3-4. Would you like me to write down these for you so that you can take them home and meditate on them?
Yeah, I guess so.
And next week, I will have some more verses around the role of being a good Christian wife.
Yeah, give them a hand. Thanks, girls. Okay, so did everyone get that? Did everyone hear that? What'd you all think? Just yell it out. It's all right. What'd you all think? Pretty dumb. Okay. Anyone else? Did you all kind of work out what it was about? Yeah. So this woman's gone to another person in the church to tell her about her husband, Wally, who they've been married to for 8 years, blah, 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 blah. And he winds her up and then he says to her, he gets really angry, right? And then he says to her, if you didn't wind me up, I wouldn't get so angry. So, and he says, you've got a problem with forgiveness. And so the church member has then responded with, all these scriptures about forgiveness. Yep. So we know that the Word of God is the authority on all things, yeah? And we use scriptures to encourage. 2 Timothy 3:16, actually. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? So we know that. But was that an appropriate response in this particular situation? No? It wasn't, was it? But the Word talks about forgiveness, and it's the Word of God, isn't it? So why was it not an appropriate response? So what should have been the response? You guys aren't used to yelling out in church, are you? Yeah. Yeah. So this woman's got an issue. Her husband's got a bit of an anger issue. And she's come to another person and said, hey, my husband's got an anger issue, but he thinks I should just forgive him. And so then the other one says, oh, yeah, well, the Word of God says. And in fact, you must. So she's sending this woman back So, I mean, look, it's just an example. It's a counselor example, okay? But yeah, there's so many other examples. And I guess the point here is that it's important that we understand and we use wisdom when we're applying the Word of God, and that we use wisdom when we're responding to people, because that woman may have gone home and never come back again. Okay? So we need to be aware of what we say. We need to take responsibility for how we respond to people, as well as how we respond when people say the wrong thing to us. Amen? Okay. So I've just about come to the end, but it's really like there's a lot of stuff in this that I've kind of just gone over because it's very detailed and it's, there's so much to it. But basically, I guess the point through all of this is for us to understand that each one of us is made up with strengths, with weaknesses. We've all got hurts, we've all got brokenness, we've all got that protective side of us, and we all have a natural tendency to protect ourselves. Amen? And that's all good and that's all fine, but when we come into God's house, the way God has designed his church is that we can come and we can have an experience of all of those amazing things that we talked about earlier, and that we can, through trust and acceptance and love, begin to grow into the person that God's called us to be. And sometimes that can be quite challenging. But, you know, I just want to encourage us, church, that, regardless of how challenging it might become, to hang in there with that endurance and being aware, understanding that this is meant to be part of the process, amen, because it's through this that we grow and we mature. And this is part of the fulfillment of, you know, God's plan for his church, amen, and that it's through this that we also grow in maturity to understand our role and our purpose as Christians in the world out there, so that when we go back out, we're ready to go back out, but we have an understanding of where we stand, so that when stuff gets thrown around at us, we know what to do, we know where we stand. And the importance of being part of a church family, the importance of being rooted and established in a church family, and to be fully committed to that. So if you've decided to follow Jesus, if you've decided to give your heart to him, if you've decided that you are going to be part of his bride, okay, which is the church, then commit to that, guys. Commit to it. Be here regularly. If you're coming in and out, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle when you're out there. And, and you won't have the opportunity to grow and mature to what the way God intended for us to grow and mature. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay. Alrighty. So, as a church, God calls us to, as it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, it says that we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Amen? You're all very quiet. Are you still here? Okay. All right, I'm just going to ask you to all stand with me. If anyone wants to know any more information about the Johari window and internal family parts, please come and ask me. I don't want anyone going away confused, because that can happen sometimes. So please come and speak to me. And it's not to say that, you know, we've all got massive problems or anything like that. It applies to all of us, okay? And it's all kind of helpful information to have and awareness to have, so we understand part of what's going on. So I just want to give anyone here an opportunity who doesn't know God, who hasn't given their heart to the Lord, who hasn't experienced the whole relationship side and doesn't know about some of this stuff that I've been talking about today. Just want to give you an opportunity today to make that decision to give your heart to him. Amen. And also, if you're here and you've been away from God, you know, you've had an experience with him, but you've been away from him. Also want to give you an opportunity, you know, to rededicate your life to God and to recommit yourself wholeheartedly, and no turning back. Amen. No turning back. So if you're here and you're in either one of those categories, I'm just going to ask you just to raise your hand and ask everyone else to please close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And awesome, we've got one hand over here. Bless you. Anyone else? Is anyone else come in either one of those categories this morning? Okay, I'm just going to ask us all to pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for your design of church. And thank you for giving us the opportunity for salvation. Lord God, this morning, I want to give my heart to you. I declare that you died on the cross for me. I believe in you. I repent this morning of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart. I want to be a Christian. I want to have a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Anyone else pray that for the first time this morning, or is there a rededication? Just slip your hand up really quickly. Okay, you've got two hands. Awesome, guys. That's it. Thank you. God bless you. I'm going to give it back to Pastor Andrew.
Come on, let's give Mona a hand.